How about we have the same conversation?
Why?
I like it when there are two conversations going on. Was that the ocean?
Yep.
It's beautiful, Brian. You've been working on that for a while. You should put that on your voiceover reel.
Actually, he did. I hear a bird. It sounds like a seashell. Put your ear against it.
Whoa! Oh, we're in 1941 France.
On the beach.
I think it was 42, but whatever. Yeah, give or take.
History.
Actually, 42.
History according to the Shide Show, which, by the way, is a book I'm writing.
History by the Shide Show?
Oh.
History according to the Shide Show.
You know, a girl, an Asian girl, came up to me the other day and said that she liked my arm hair.
That's because it's blonde.
Oh, you have blonde arm hair, too.
Have you gotten compliments on your arm hair?
Have you?
Not by, well...
An Asian girl.
How tall is she?
It's the same one.
She's 3 feet tall. She's unmistakable.
Same one.
Yeah.
There it is.
She's. I didn't notice that. It's we both have blonde arm hair. It's, I actually have a lot less than you.
Do you have this defect as well?
Whoa.
You have that?
I don't know.
The chef bump?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, kind of.
It's there. As we were discussing before with porn, it's the chef bump.
Oh, hello.
Well, let's fill all of our listeners in here.
Brian, can you introduce the
show? I'd like to start
the show.
Please, we've got like an unnamed voice talking about porn
and
chef bumps.
Well, we need to, we were talking about
Greg's arm hair.
Go, let's do it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shide Show.
It's very proper.
Yeah. My name is Brian Gerard. I am alongside, as always, Gregory Hoyt.
Good evening, ladies.
And Robert the Shide.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. We have a very special guest today.
We do indeed.
An old friend, a new friend.
What?
An old new friend.
Doesn't make sense.
The great chef, Nathan Lyons.
Oh, my God!
Nathan Lyons. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very, very much.
Are we going to talk about mouthfeel?
Oh, that's actually one of Greg's favorite... Most favorite phrases. I would
mouth
say.
Feel.
No.
It grosses me out.
Well, we had this was Sarah Foreman, right? She was on an episode a while back, and she brought in some food that she had made from your cookbook, right? Which
we have
great
here.
Food starts fresh. Thank
Brian,
you.
350 big pages.
Hold on, I'm almost through it.
Brian. How long did that take you to write? Like 15 or 20 minutes?
It took me almost 6 years.
Oh, God. You should have done it in 15 to 20 minutes. It would have had a different feel.
It would have. It would have been... Yeah, think of the time you would have saved.
Yeah.
What
are you
doing,
man?
I think it was... it's been analogous with, say, having a six-year-old child. It cost the same. Like, it took up that much time.
Dude.
And you had to make all this food. So, literally, you were, like, baking food for this six-year-old child.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Well, wait, before you get into that, let me just go back.
I go hard hitting right away every time.
Let me go back.
Like a broad generalization. Like, how did this happen?
I just want to finish up the mouthfeel story.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so basically Sarah came on and she made an amazing coconut flan dish from your cookbook. And we dove into some of the terms that are thrown around on cooking shows, one of which... is mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Mm. No, she like mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
She goes, it has a good mouthfeel. And it was like a record skipped out in my mind. I was like, what?
But it's interesting because she doesn't like that term.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she doesn't because it's so generic and it doesn't really mean anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything you put in your mouth has a mouthfeel.
Yeah, so, like dirt or fuzz.
Or this coffee I'm drinking.
Just say
has a mouthfeel.
Coffee feel.
Right, coffee feel.
See?
Liquid feel.
Whoa.
Whatever.
Wow.
Same
or thing. A stranger.
You mean when you sit on your own arm until it's numb and then you...
No, I think
that's called a stranger.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
That's a stranger.
Some people say if you use your left hand, it's the same kind of thing. Because my left hand doesn't make certain motions, so when I try to do that, it's like, who is this?
But with your left hand, you see it coming. With a completely numb arm, you have to really...
You have no idea what's happening.
It's the stranger's thing.
Wow. All right, great. So
Nathan Lyon, everyone.
As per Greg's previous question.
Go ahead, Greg. You're up.
How did this happen?
How did this happen?
I mean, it's funny because, I love cooking. Mm-hmm. Two, I've worked at farmers markets for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people, like grown-ass people, to be able to feed themselves. So mm-hmm. many times people will say, you know, I have this garden filled with blank. How do you cook it?
Yeah.
Or the different TV programs I've been fortunate enough to be on. You know, I'll have one or two recipes regarding one thing in a particular season. So I decided to write a seasonal cookbook so that everyone, literally everyone, can cook. And I wrote it by numbers as well.
That's awesome. Do you mean by numbers?
I mean, like, number one, you know, take a medium-sized saute pan and do
step by step. So
it's easy
an idiot like me could do it.
Well, let's not.
No,
go
let's
that
be
far.
Honest. You've never cooked anything in your life.
So that is a lie. So, he is vintage Americana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about Greg's palate and his.
I believe in a vintage Americana diet.
You should make a cookbook.
I should.
It would be done in 15 to 20 minutes.
And it would be stapled binding. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
It would be like a little pamphlet. It consists of water, lots of water.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
What are the food groups? The other one is being what? Meatloaf?
No, not meatloaf. That's too
hardly
too
that.
Too that's too
whoa,
extravagant.
Whoa, back up here.
Steps. Celery.
Two steps.
I eat a lot of celery. He raises an eyebrow.
Which is also just water.
Just water,
sticking in the water.
Yeah. Water and fiber.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are a big part of my diet.
That's like three steps right there.
Yeah.
That's a three-step recipe.
Yeah, easy. That's at lunch.
Yeah.
I do like protein shakes a lot with whey protein, and those have bananas and strawberries and blueberries.
That's where you
in
go
it.
Crazy.
That's
you let the really blades do your cooking.
Nuts. Yeah.
15 minutes. There it is. The Greg Hoyt Vintage Americana.
Yeah. That doesn't even.
I don't think that's a cookbook. I think it's more like a pamphlet.
Exactly. It's three
you
or four
did
pages.
Say
15
to 20 minutes.
That'll be right up your alley.
Whoa.
Whoa. What
are we just putting our hands in it?
Yeah.
If by we mean you mean
you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of the show, and I've heard you guys eating different things before, and I decided to make you.
I should get some forks. Get some forks.
So Nathan has just whipped open a little tub here. Of delicious fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What are those? Are those plums?
These are plums and or pluots.
Oh,
and,
pluots.
Let's see. We got mango, some strawberry, blueberries.
Is that mint?
Mint and vanilla sugar.
Now, Greg, just delicious. So you get a good glimpse of what this means. This is a good breakfast, right?
Yeah,
I think a fork might be better.
Oh, really?
Well, whatever. Just scoop it. Try this. I'm going to scoop it. Here we go.
Strawberries.
Nathan, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Out of this 365 recipes that are in this book, I just made that.
Oh,
number.
Man, it's so good!
I just made that
That's
number.
That's pretty awesome.
Are you eating?
We're eating. You ask questions.
Oh, okay.
Mm,
what
delicious.
Is your favorite recipe to make?
Oh, holy
and why?
Cow.
Favorite recipe?
Favorite recipe to make.
Excellent question.
Did you hear the cue?
Thank you.
In his why? Say it again.
I'd like to know your favorite recipe to make and why.
It's a cue. It's somewhat silent.
Oh, it's like how he introduced me. He goes, alongside, as hallways.
Yes.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah. I think there's a mental block.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Do you have a favorite? Because to be honest with you, I hate that question.
I mean, much like kids, you're not really supposed to say you have a favorite because, I mean...
This is a six-year-old.
That's very true, and I only have one. So this is the six-year-old, so I like this one best until, I guess, the next one comes along.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But... It's funny, because it's a seasonal cookbook, and whatever is freshest is the best. So right now I'm thinking, well, if I do this like rustic Italian stew in my head, I really like it, but it doesn't apply in the summertime. So I really like it right now.
Because it's too hot.
It's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's why things like this that are actually in season right now taste so good, because it's hot out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it comes down to simplicity, even if people don't know what they eat or they don't know how to cook, you just say, well, just kind of like follow your natural body's instinct. Mm-hmm. If it's hot out, do you want like a rustic risotto with like roast vegetables? And you're like, no, I would actually want a gazpacho, like something that's cooling. Mm-hmm. And so those things are actually in season where those things are not.
That's very interesting. Have you talked to Michelle Obama yet?
she hasn't really dropped her line on me. But I have spoken with people that she's spoken to, so that's like a little bit.
Yeah,
you guys are on the same page.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, and Michelle should get together because, not like, you know.
Whoa.
Well,
I know she's got a man and you've
got
ladies.
She's also got people.
That's right. She has people.
She does. With that guy. Yeah.
But she like is doing the whole gardening thing, right? Yeah. Like she's pushing that.
Somebody, the Victory Garden deal. Yeah. Uh-huh. Somebody else that you know refuses to be on this show, but there's a different reason behind it. She was thoroughly insulted.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, RT Sequeira.
She refuses to be on the show?
Well, you know what? She doesn't really refuse. She says that she wants to be on the show.
She
but
wants
I
an apology.
I think that she's a little upset at Greg.
I used to have a running bit where I would talk about how much I hated Chicago. Are you from Chicago?
No, I'm from Arlington, Virginia.
Good. I can trust you.
Arlington is vintage Americana.
I just used to make fun of Chicago.
Yeah.
And Artie, man, she took it personally.
Now,
unfortunately.
I don't think she did. But you do knew. You know.
You do Artie. I knew and know.
You do knew. Yeah. You do knew Artie Sequeira.
I do.
Yes.
Well, all good chefs know each other.
Well, that's true, but you guys go back to a show that you were both on, right?
No.
You were not on at the same time?
No.
Mm-hmm. You were on at a different time?
I was on many, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
Next Food Network Star. I was on the same year that Guy Fieri was on.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's how far back this is.
I didn't know that. I thought you guys were on the same show.
People don't remember that Guy Fieri was actually on a show.
Don't remember that at all.
Yeah, so he was on that show. He was Discovered, just like I was, and I went with Discovery.
Yeah.
And had a show for 5 years on Discovery Health and Fit TV called A Line in the Kitchen. Because my type of cooking, you can't really box it up and put it on a shelf. Mm-hmm. Like my food has a life,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's fresh. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when you look at different networks, their commercials are always for like this new flavor of like water packet,
mm-hmm.
triple raspberry flavor for zero calories. And I'm like, that's not really food. I don't really eat that way.
I think that shelf life, though, has sort of an issue, or it is an issue, right? Like, I'm wondering if there is a cookbook out there for the single guy. The guy who is going to make a single portion. Oh, it's like, you know, that's pretty sad. It actually sounds sad as I talk about it.
Why?
Maybe about the woman.
That's my life.
Who's going to, I'm sorry, is going to make the single portion, right? Or if they're making multiple portions, that has to last a little bit longer, right? Maybe in the fridge or maybe how it can be altered the next time you have it so it's not the same exact thing over and over again. Is there that cookbook for lonely guys? You get to flavor it with your tears.
With your little bit of salt.
Yes.
But it's such a gentle, subtle thing.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, there are those cookbooks, right? It's like those Betty Crocker cookbooks.
Betty Crocker's not cookbook for the lonely guy.
That's very, Betty Crocker's more of a family style thing.
Yeah.
You put almost everything in the crock pot and you just press on.
And then put gravy on all of it, right?
I mean, it's interesting because with food, if you can cook at least something well, and you learn a lot of that stuff, again, from the farmer's market, because you go to the farmer's market, you pick out a fresh tomato, all you need is like fresh cracked pepper, a little salt, olive oil, and maybe mozzarella, fresh torn herbs. I mean, there's really nothing that you do, and you've concocted something that a restaurant would charge you $15 to do. So, and literally, if I had made a bunch of things for us, it would cost almost nothing. It would be super healthy. But at the end of the day, it's freaking delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 41, so growing up in the 70s, when everything was supposed to be like no oil, my mom would pour the peanut butter oil off the top, and you'd be left with dry peanut butter because oil was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Little spray cans, we'd pour like a little bit of olive oil, and you'd spray it. And I'm like, F that, because olive oil is delicious, you know?
Yeah.
And carob is not chocolate. Carob is not chocolate. So health doesn't really have to do with processed things or less of something. It just has to do with quality.
Mm.
So if you got a really great steak or like a really good thing, a small helping of risotto or a small helping of steak or a small helping of dessert, like really good chocolate, it's satiating. And I really believe that's the answer. Whereas fast food is not satiating.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I just ate this whole bag.
And it doesn't.
And I'm starving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, vegan and vegetarian food, you know, with my new show, I went all the way around. We had a lot of vegan and vegetarian places. But if they didn't have, let's say, avocado at the very least, or a lot of fat in it, it's not satiating. So you're full, but you're starving at the same time.
Mm.
That's a very interesting thing.
I mean, you know, it's L.A. There's a salad everywhere.
There really is.
And you eat a salad, and you're like, do you want to go get some lunch? I just had a salad. I'm starving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's like, you know, the different things of beans and the like avocados and some shaved cheese, you don't have to have a chunk of chicken or meat or a steak or anything.
Sure.
You just have to have enough fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm a big feta cheese fan with my
feta
salads.
Feta cheese.
Yeah.
Delicious.
But again, the key being fresh food. Now, speaking of your farmer's market fetish.
Yes.
That's is it a fetish?
I think
it's a fetish.
It is absolutely fair because one block away from here, I'll be here.
Oh, on Sunday or Saturday?
No, right.
Right now.
Ta-da. Right now? Oh, on Barnsdale?
12 to 6.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
There's a farmer's market over here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We live in a
on a Wednesday. It's so random.
On a Wednesday.
Normally you would say Wednesday, Greg.
On a Wednesday.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
We live in a pretty awesome area wherein a farmer's market happens every day.
Well, actually, Nathan's pulling up this app,
which
I downloaded because Nathan told me about it. This is, what is the name of this app on your iPhone?
It's called Farmer's Market Finder. It's just in California, unfortunately, for those that are not around. But there are
for
different websites
in Brazil
where you can put your zip code.
Yeah.
And it'll show you where your nearest farmer's market's. But this is literally, so from here, it's 0.2 miles.
Yeah.
At the LA Medical Center, it's 12 to 6.
Yeah. Wait, there's a farmer's market at a medical center.
Yeah, it's right down here at the
Do they do like a needle exchange as well?
Yeah, exchange.
Isn't that sweet?
So that's I couldn't believe that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
So it even shows you like directions to get there, where you are.
And if you're in friggin', I don't even know where that is, but it's 337.6 miles
away from right now.
Pop out to the part where we can see California. If you can, to see all the pins in California
of the
locations of these things.
It looks like California is covered in these green farmer's market pins.
Oh, my God.
It looks like it needs a healthy dose of, like, zithromycin.
Yeah, no doubt.
Penicillin. You don't want to catch.
It looks like an outbreak.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, that's pretty specific to California. Do you see, having traveled around doing this show, do you see this farmer's market... I'm going to call it a trend because I feel like it is a newer trend. We're getting away from these conglomerate grocery stores.
Well, until the produce is in the grocery store, right, it is going to be a trend.
Right. Okay. So, but my question is, do you see other parts of the country catching on to this, farmer's market?
I mean, it's growing. Farmer's markets are growing, known fact, exponentially. I mean, just
really?
Young farmers, people our age, are actually getting into farming because they're like, corporate, why would I want to sit in this cubicle for X amount of hours a day when I can actually work with my hands and farm?
Hmm.
And I'm finding this paradigm shift of getting away from processed food because, let's face it, our country is not known to be the healthiest country in the world.
Why are you applauding that?
Well, because I wanted to applaud Nathan for saying it.
Thank you,
Michelle Obama. It's beautiful. He's waving a flag.
Thank you.
I am waving
it's like one
giant
of those
flag.
Soccer flags, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's smaller.
Huge ones. Oh, okay.
Just enough.
I appreciate it. All right. So we are a fat nation. Excellent.
We are a product of our environment. And our environment since the end of World War II is like convenience. Packaged. Everything is packaged. It was actually to get the woman out of the kitchen, you know, and to get to work. And the only way to do that is to make things a lot more convenient because who's going to cook?
Right.
And garden.
And garden.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, exactly. Victory gardens are huge. I think it was like during World War II, it was maybe 60% of all the food produced in this country was through victory gardens.
Yeah.
Just an unbelievable amount of food.
There was also a massive amount of propaganda to get that to happen, though, right? All these things were support the troops at home, conserve, grow your own produce. I mean, it was a huge task on the part of the government to get people to change their mindset.
Yeah.
So in order for that to change now, do you think the same thing is going to be required?
You know, it's a sad state of affairs, gentlemen. Because
God.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm gonna where is this soapbox? Hold on for a second.
That's okay. Up there.
Thank you.
You're just teeing me up to go on some rampage.
I feel so tall.
Anyway.
I'm way up here.
You're sitting next to Brian. So
if there's a television program out there, which there have been, where it shows morbidly obese people losing weight to win a lot of money. Whereas the reality of the matter is that I can say as a chef and a person with like a health degree, I can say you have the same access to the same foods I do. Even if it's in the grocery store. Frozen foods, I have no problem with it. As long as it's just like frozen peas or frozen corn or canned tomatoes or whatever the case may be. If I say to morbidly obese people, you can actually have almost complete control over your own destiny. Like, you have to live in that body. I don't, because this is the only body I get. At the end of the day, I'm in the ground.
Yeah.
I'm cremated, but whatever. You know what I'm saying?
You're getting cremated today?
Not today.
End of today. Oh,
not at the end of today.
Sorry, I was a little worried because you know,
at a day.
There's so many questions.
A day,
I have
a day will far come. Away.
Okay, all right.
But it's very interesting. Whereas people are more than happy to lose weight, and it only benefits them really to lose weight.
Yeah.
For money. But I can say to the same people, if you lose weight for your own health, will you do it? And they're like, no. Where's the incentive? And you're like, your life is the incentive.
It's the reward.
But where's the money?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the frame of mind that people are in. Yeah. But I do see that when people hit a wall, and it's analogous with, say, like alcoholism or drug abuse, where you bottom out, that's when you change.
Yeah.
Are healthier people, more financially successful? Because if a study could show that, do you think that would make the change? Or do you still need to say, hey, here's a check.
I don't think it's mutually exclusive.
I don't know, man.
There could be really obese people sitting at their computer making a lot of money on the stock market.
That's true.
Or whatever. I mean, there are a million ways to make money.
That's true.
But if you're in an area where it's pretty down, like, you know, Bed Stuy in New York, I went and did a little special TV thing there. And there's not even a grocery store for like a mile and a half. So all they have is something like a bodega, like a 7-Eleven, to get their food from. So here I am coming in saying, I'm going to save the day, get on the ACE and go to whatever. And they're like, I'm not going to do that because I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
And so it's a very difficult problem that we have, because when you go to lower income areas, that's where the liquor stores are. And I listen, you know, I listen to Public Enemy. I listen to Ice Cube and Ice Tea. What's up?
It's real.
But, you know, processed food isn't necessarily in the really super wealthy areas of this country. It's just not.
Do you think that subsidies would drive the produce into these like low-income areas? Basically, subsidizing the cost of fresh-grown produce versus corn subsidies, which are going towards making the fast food products cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. If we actually subsidize food, like food, because the corn, like if you pick that corn and try to eat it, you physically cannot eat that corn. It's not made for
eating. The corn that we're talking about is corn that is grown, which is a higher sugar content, so it's grown to be fermented and turned into ethanol. Is that right?
It's turned into so many different things. It's mind-boggling. Mm. Like soy, they're like monocultures.
Okay.
So soy and corn are the two main monocultures in this country, which take up some unbelievable amount of space as far as acreage.
Yeah.
And you won't find things like bees anywhere in the middle of the country because there's nothing for them to pollinate.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing. Whereas farms in the middle of the country used to have like chickens and corn. They used to grow their own stuff. So there was this great thing where you could use the cow shit and put it on your plants. And you would grow these plants.
Right.
And the plants you would compost and then give it to your cows. Sure. And it's just like this great cycle. And now it's just, you grow one thing.
Yeah.
And it's this wasteland of no food.
And the land gets messed up because there's not proper rotation.
It gets depleted. Like
but going back to your point
I
of
need a drink.
Our
so depressing.
But going back to your point of our generation getting back into farming, getting back to basics, getting back to getting into creating and sustaining our own food.
Right.
Do you see that culture, that corporate culture changing? Do you see that can actually break down and we can get back into it?
I do. I mean, I think the power of the people really makes a huge difference, because like if you go and see fast food, I think it's Burger King, is now having salads, like a huge billboard with a fresh salad.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that time would come for a while.
Yeah.
Is that regional though? Is that LA? Burger King? Because I know that even fast food places do regional fare.
That's very true. I don't know the answer to that.
Because I remember my brother went to Baylor in Waco, Texas. And Waco, Texas was apparently the test zone for Taco Bell. So my brother would see these things on the Taco Bell menu that nobody would see. They would never make it out of their test region.
Okay.
But I think that's sort of an interesting thing to look at. These fast food places offering fresh fare, right? Is that local? Is that LA?
I think they have to. I mean, I think that there's this really insurgence, a kind of people are mad. They're really pissed off because, you know, things cost a lot of money. I'm 41 years old and I haven't had health insurance since I was in college.
I'm with you.
Why are you applauding?
Because of the honesty.
Oh, okay.
I have it. Right. One, because I can't afford it. I'm a celebrity chef on TV.
Yeah.
For the last 7 years.
I'll applaud that.
And I can't afford it.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
But here's your
health insurance. You're eating fresh food. And you're not an asshole.
That's true. Not an asshole.
You're not an asshole.
Not an asshole. I will applaud you.
Thank you very much. Before we sign off.
Yeah.
I want to say a few things.
Doesn't involve the table.
Keep it down up there. First of all, the shift that you're talking about, you guys are talking about, is like the drug addiction thing, the alcoholism thing, where the country's going to have to hit a wall, you know, where it's like, I can't take any more processed food, I'm so hungry, and that will help motivate things. And I think that's what you're saying, is that a lot of the country already is feeling that way, so now companies are actually being motivated to kind of go towards the healthier direction. Mm. Second point. I grew up with my grandmother having a victory garden, and it was huge. And it was so awesome as a kid to learn how to garden, and she would pull peas out of there and pull tomatoes out of there and pull zucchini and squash.
This is when you were living in the hallway, right?
Where is this?
You grew up
this
where?
Is in just north of Boston,
okay.
In a town called Amesbury. So it was totally seasonal.
You should have heard of this if you listen to the show, right? Yeah, he talks about Amesbury
a lot. I love it.
Yes. Go ahead.
And so it's totally seasonal, but she would can her like blueberries and, you know, make applesauce and freeze stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And what I always remembered was that when we would go and work in the garden afterwards, my grandmother would be like, it just makes me feel closer to God. And we'd be in such a good mood after working with the dirt and working in the in the soil. And I heard the other day that there's a scientific study that says that they think that there are certain chemicals in the ground, in dirt, that are mood enhancing.
So they're released when you work in the dirt.
Yeah, when you're close to the dirt, when you're close to the earth, when you're working in your garden or in the
that's 100%
in the earth, there are actual chemicals that are released.
That's 100% true.
Right?
Thanks,
isn't that
Brian.
Amazing?
That's Brian's scientific addition. Well, you know what? It sounds like mud
it's
pies.
It's a theory, but because Brian said it's 100% true, is true.
That's endorsement. Awesome. That means mud pies for everyone, right? All right.
But don't you get it. Isn't that great?
Glad we need a scientific study to really make them.
But it's very, like, working with your hands and getting in the dirt it's calming. It's good for you because you're constantly burning calories.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't burn calories, like you're outside, you're doing something. And when you become a steward of your own food, it means something because I had a tomato plant 2 years ago. It was going crazy. And then a moth came along or a butterfly, whatever it is, like had these caterpillars. Like it went away for a week, came back, and something was eating my tomato plant. And I took it personally as if somebody had just punched me in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I came back with a vengeance. Yep. I played the great deity, and I was like, you're all going to die. And, of course, I killed them all. Yep. Because I was like, this is my tomato plant.
Yeah.
And I find that if you actually have to raise your own food, at least even if it's an herb garden, like a tiny one little herb plant, and something happens with it, you take it personally, which is why I love farmers markets, because you go to the farmers market and you meet the woman who actually raids these chickens to give you the eggs. You won't just throw them away, you know. You won't just burn the chicken breast and throw it away just because you have 50 more from Costco.
Right.
Like it was actually a chicken, or the fruit was raised by this person who is not a wealthy person.
Right.
Like they work freaking hard, but they're happy.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing you were talking about with your grandma.
Because that is a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt enhances your mood.
100%.
And also just being outside and, you know, kind of getting active.
Sick of being tired, sick of being in a bad mood, stop being an asshole and eat the right food.
Whoa,
look at that. Brilliant.
You should contact Michelle Obama with that.
Dirt angels.
Exactly.
Come on. Nathan, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
This was great.
This is a good conversation. I hope everyone goes and continues this conversation with their own friends and loved ones. Great food starts fresh. Simple, innovative cuisine featuring fresh, seasonal ingredients. Nathan Lyon.
Go buy it.
Yeah.
Go buy that book.
You can find it on my website.
Which is?
I have to pop my own website.
Go ahead.
ChefNathanLyon.com because I did all the photography and I self-published it.
Hello.
And
perfect.
So it's just like...
ChefNathanLyon.com.
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 Bing, boom.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you.
On behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt,
ho!
We are on the Scheid Show.
Yay!
Some come up and some come down.